This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to this special podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shraddha Janand and today I have with me a very special guest, Shailendra Kumar, who is a Chief Investment Officer at Narnolia Financial Advisors. Well, welcome to the podcast, Shailendra.
Thank you, Jitish.
Well, before we, start ahead and get to, 2020, let's also talk about the year 2019. In fact, it rewarded those who remained in quality, large and mid caps. So what will be the theme for the year 2020, according to you?
Yeah, Jitish. So 2019, one way to look is very simple. Nifty is up by close to 10%.
Right.
The other way to interpret 2019 is that the spread is very low. So there are only few stocks which has given you handsome kind of a return, 20%, 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Large majority of stocks are down for the year. Not only 2019, you look at 2018 as well.
Right.
The mid and the small cap indices are closing way below the high made in the early 2018. So mm-hmm. like mid cap is down by 10-15%, small cap is down by 20-25%.
Right.
So this market has become very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is quite understandable. When the economy overall cycle is in kind of a tougher zone,
mm-hmm.
then investors usually flock to those stocks where the long-term competitive moat is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And shorter-term economic cycle do not have impact on those companies. Mm-hmm. So only those company which we call quality company where competitive advantage is very strong, the ROE is very high. So, but those companies do not have a high growth. So 10-15% kind of a top-line growth mm-hmm. They do.
Mm-hmm.
But the point to note is, those growth are consistent over net 10 years, 15 years.
Right.
So when the time is tough, the economy is in the downswing, you go and hide in those stocks
mm-hmm.
where the relative stability of growth and stability of quality is ensured.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why you have seen, very narrow market, only few stocks going up and large majority, still being quite below the high mid in 2018.
Yes. In fact, some experts are even calling this as a most hated bull market, even though we have touched record highs, but then again, only a small set of stocks which are actually making those, record highs for themselves as well, while the most of the other broader market stocks are down in double digits. So, yes, So, yes, it's rightly said it's the most hated, bull market of all times.
Now, but that's the nature of market. That's the nature of market.
Perfect.
You will have some couple of years of these kind of market always. and the market will mean revert. Again, you will find a period where other stocks comes up. Like, so there was a period 15, 16, 17
uh-huh.
where Nifty was growing 10-15%.
Right.
But the stocks were up by 40%, 50%. It's
right.
a reversal of the trend. It's nothing,
right.
nothing. So like these are part of market as such.
So I think I'll connect another question is, will retail investors be happy after looking at their portfolio in 2020? Because in 2019, even though markets were, at record highs, but the portfolios are largely in the red or with marginal profit. I mean, it was not at the same exuberance as we're seeing in probably in Sensex and Nifty in the second half. So will the picture change?
Well, yeah. See, very simple. It should be changing. So at least 2020 will be a year where it will start changing. So like 4 or 5 great year, 2014 to 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the last 2.5 years, you have hardly made any money in the
right.
stock. So
mm-hmm.
whether you bought a mutual fund or you invested yourself directly.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is this after 4 or 5 years of rally, 2 to 2.5 years of correction is called time-wise correction. It's pretty understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And whether after a fall, next thing will be what? It will be up. It's a cycle.
Right.
So after up cycle, you got a down cycle.
Mm-hmm.
After down cycle, there can't be further down cycle. It has
right.
to be an up cycle.
Up
so
cycle.
I think good days are ahead for most of the investors.
Perfect. I think that's a very encouraging statement. Good days are ahead of us. Well, moving on to the next big event which we have, and that is Budget 2020. So what are your expectations from the budget? Will the small investor or the retail investor and the individual taxpayer will get some benefit? I mean, rate cuts or the tax slabs which are there?
Yeah. So normally when we talk of budget, you talk about, some kind of a tax advantages. So dividend tax, capital
uh-huh.
gain tax, some income tax slab changes.
Right, right.
I think those are like very genuine expectations and I hope most of the expectations will be met. Looking
mm-hmm.
at the corporate tax cut which the government did last this year, 2019,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the chances of those reforms are very, very high. But I'm not looking at those small improvement. What I'm looking at as a analyst is basically certainty in fiscal policy.
Right.
To my mind, one thing which hurts very badly to Indian businesses is change in rates. Someday, if you keep something at 20%, you make it 25%, then you make it 15%. Plus, you keep a kind of uncertainty in the economic environment.
Right.
That things will change.
Right. Right.
Now, a businessman doesn't like low rate or high rate. It requires certainty of rates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's more important to me than low or high.
Right.
If I know the rate today, and if I am pretty sure of the rate next 4 or 5 years, I can make my capital budgeting. I can do my investment. But if I am not very sure the kind of rate which is today, whether the rate next year or down next 2 year, next 3 year will change dramatically, then I'm very scared doing a capex. So what I'm looking for in the budget is some kind of a path from the government, both on direct taxes as well as GST, which is a different issue, but still added together. Some kind of a stability, the government comes out and say very firmly, this is the path for me, where tax rate will move in the next 3-4 years.
Yes.
So that every businessman is confident about how to plan their capex. That's number one. Number two, in the budget, the bigger thing that I'm looking for is fiscal deficit number. To all my bullish thesis, which is there in the market, my only worry in the market right now is fiscal deficit should not become very, very high.
Right
now, the way tax collections are, and it will not improve. There are no indication of improvement. So fiscal deficit along with center, state and all the off balances like NHAI and Food Corporation add together, it's like 9% plus, which is very alarming high.
Okay.
Now, if the fiscal is not addressed properly, we see higher deficit or at least not a credible number on fiscal deficit, then what will happen? Government has to do market borrowing.
Yes.
That will crowd out the private people from the bond market, which will suck your liquidity. So it's a very bad cycle. This fiscal policy, if not handled properly, will translate itself into a bad monetary situation. Then all the bull thesis that we have for the market in the next 1 year or 2 year will be slightly off the track. So like it will not be a bull market straight away. It will take some time. So my what I'm looking in the budget is a very clear fiscal roadmap, a clarity on tax rate and a kind of surety that the rates will be remaining same for the next 3-4 years. No delaying there. And then the usual, you know, some kind of advantage for the dividend tax and the capital gain tax and the slab, which is very logically required also.
Perfect. Rightly said so. And you make a very valid point there, Shailendra. Now, moving from budget to sectors, now banking and the financial sector remained in focus throughout in 2019. Do you think we could see some bit of measures being announced in the, budget this time around as well?
See, with all the kind of, government failure that we talk about in terms of banking NPA and the ILFS issue and other mess, to my mind, in spite of all these complaints, and some are very valid complaints, like the kind of government reaction after the ILFS crisis was not to the mark, to my mind. But whatever government has done till date, or the way our regulator and the banking sector as such has responded is phenomenally well. The NCLT, the IBC coming itself is a big helper for the sector. Government has recapitalized PSU Bank in a very aggressive manner. Good or bad is different issue, but they have responded to the recapitalization very fast. I don't think there is much of a policy intervention needed. What is needed is basically government, giving operational freedom to this PSU bank. After the merger, they will be having good scale now. So what is more required in the banking segment is giving the PSU some kind of operational freedom to run the show. Second, government stake might be coming down. Third, something, because real estate, NBFC, banking, this is like a trinity of issue which is there in the financial market. I think some part of it is getting handled right now with the policy announcement in the last quarter. Government should not try to be super active here and let the thing get settled in a gradual manner, which is not bad. Our bank has handled huge amount of NPA in the last 3-4 years. Almost a 2014 March, we had almost 65 lakh crore ka deposit, advances by the Indian Bank. Almost 18 lakh crore of advances became NPA in the next following 3-4 years. But now banks has absorbed all. Nothing big debacle has happened in that count. So big plus to government, PSU banks and the RBI, apart from what little mistake they have done. So I think more of a operational freedom to the banking boards and a clarity in terms of how the government has to come down in these areas. So like adding to the budget question also, what I would like to add here is how to get the fiscal right for the country, how to get the overall debt of the government reduced, you know. Government is sitting on a huge amount of not so productive assets. So PSU divestment is one thing. There are good amount of pockets where PSU in other forms, not typically a listed PSU players, even a lot of unlisted and government departments, they are sitting on a huge amount of productive assets, where the productivity being used is very, very low. So huge amount of divestment is the one roadmap or one big reform that, you know, that will be my not expectation from the budget, but I think it's required in the country over next couple of quarter, which will be after the corporate tax cut, another great dose of reform for the country for the next 3-4 years.
Right. And so moving on to the next question, which I'm sure a lot of retail investors will be interested in, and that is where the money will be made. I mean, which are the sector which are likely to hog limelight in the year 2020, or you could say where the money could be made?
See, all through 2019, banking was one sector which has helped the investor create wealth.
Absolutely, yes.
I think 2020 also, this sector will keep, you know, leading the market. So that sector is still something you hold, or every decline you keep accumulating. So, and irrespective of, you know, retail lender or a corporate lender, I think right now the overall banking is in a right shape. Our credit to GDP ratio is still to a point from where good amount of headwind is there. Right now, the kind of scenario we had in credit, everything has fallen to single digit, 8-9%. But there will be simple mean reversion. You know, there are a lot of factors which will cause the credit growth to, you know, increase to 14-15%. And all these banks will give you good amount of wealth. The other sector to look right now is all the consumer discretionary space, you know, particularly those space which are a little new for the investor, for a normal consumer to consume.
Okay.
Lot into services side. So consumer discretionary, product also looks fine. Auto is the area where the products in consumer discretionary is. Looking at the valuation, some names would be doing better in 2021. All the larger problem of auto in terms of, you know, got a lot of regulatory changes happened in the auto. With after the BS6 will be the last frontier, where after which the auto will have a smoother period. So consumer discretionary product also, consumer discretionary services also. So like a lot of in terms of, you know, retail, in terms of, you know, movie exhibition. So a lot of good names in consumer space, consumer discretionary space, both product and services looks exciting.
Perfect. And, you know, to sum it up, my last question would be, you know, you talked about valuation. So what should be the ideal strategy for investors in the year 2020? You know, as you rightly said in the, you know, beginning of the podcast, that a lot of stocks which got momentum, you know, are the ones who are from the large cap space. And I'm sure valuations are at the peak at that point in time. So should investors worry about high P valuations for stocks? I mean, should they dump those stocks which have already rallied a lot, or should they stay hold on? What should be the ideal strategy?
Yeah. See, for every investor, important thing to remember is like, they should have two part of the portfolio. One is core portfolio, one is tactical portfolio. So something you buy, basically just buy and hold for a very long, long run, which can be called core portfolio, and some tactical, which is more focused on 1 year, 3 year kind of a performance. So shorter term performance, 1-2 years kind of performance. And naturally, large part of your money should be in the core portfolio.
Right.
And inside the core portfolio, you buy only those company which has long-term, very strong quality and competitive moat. If a company is not competitively very smart, which is called high-quality company, you know, where the growth might be 15-20%, but it will be a consistent compounder. So that should remain the core portfolio, right? But over the last 2 years, even tactical portfolio characteristic, one has to keep similar to the core portfolio, similar to the quality portfolio.
Right.
Now, I think is a time where your tactical part of your portfolio, so maybe it could be 20%, 30% of your portfolio, you may gradually start putting into those segments, which are not long-term core, but they look attractive in 2 to 3 year time frame.
Okay.
So something in the growth space, so some spaces where growth company are getting invested.
Sure.
Secondly, on the cap side also, Nifty, a small cap index, ratio of Nifty small cap index to Nifty is now about 0.5. So if you look at only Nifty small cap and Nifty and just divide the two, the ratio is 0.5.
Okay.
It was more than one in 2017. It fell, now it's half from there. Remember 2013 end, when the small cap rally started big time in India, this ratio was similar to 0.5. So there will be, I'm not saying a small cap will start flying immediately. Till economy doesn't take take something in an upward direction, a small cap will keep, you know, not getting attention in the market. Because for a small cap, two things are very vital. economic growth and low interest rate.
Right.
Till the time low interest rate economic growth combination doesn't get in the picture in our economy, small cap will not outperform big tech. But the price wise, the equation is there from where if economy starts turning up maybe second half of next calendar year, suddenly small cap will start, you know, outperforming. So tactically, little bit into growth, little bit into a small cap is at right now is the time where one should start, you know, putting some money to work.
Well, thanks a lot, Shailendra, for your time. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into this edition of Market Podcast, in fact, special Market Podcast. But do stay log on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy.